This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go to the hotline right now. We bring in a friend who would understand how all of these things work. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is Brian Anderson. Hey, BA, how are you?
Brian.
I'm doing very well, fellas. How are you?
Good. And what part of the Everglades are you in talking to us today?
Hey, you know what? It's never boring in my life, that's for sure. I'm actually driving around right now. Running errands because we just moved into a new home about 36 hours ago. So it's,
wow,
it's
congratulations.
Been movers moving in. I mean, you name it. It's been a blur.
Yikes.
Yeah.
All right. So in Brian Anderson's man cave, tell us one thing that's in there.
Well, there's nothing right now. There is absolutely nothing right now. But I will tell you this. I just got off the phone with a company down here that does audio visual home networking, home theater, to schedule a consultation to go over exactly what I do want in that man cave and in the house as a whole. And so probably by next week, I'll have a much better answer for you.
But does Brian Anderson have a Brian Anderson Indians jersey in his man cave?
No, you know what? I don't. I have one hanging in my closet back in the house in Ohio, and it's funny that you asked that because I've never been a big memorabilia guy, and even though, you know, I've had the opportunity to play on a lot of really good teams and play for a number of different teams, I still have not framed any of my jerseys or built a room or done anything like that. I probably should. I mean, it'd probably be a pretty cool thing to show and to have, but to this point, I haven't done that. But like I said, all of the other jerseys, they're packed away in bags and in boxes. My Cleveland Indian jersey is actually hanging in the closet. That's a fact.
Okay,
Brian,
so let me wrap it up
those?
With this.
I don't think you can. You'd have to have it specially made, and people would wonder who that was and when did he play here.
No, when a player takes his jersey, do the teams just give that to you, or do you have to cough up cash?
No, you know what? Yeah, they give them to you. They will. I mean, you go in and you want, you know, 4 or 5 of them, I'm sure that would probably be added to your the bill that you would get. Although these guys actually don't get billed anymore with the new collective bargaining agreement, they don't even pay the clubbies. The clubbies are paid now, and the equipment managers are paid from upstairs. You're welcome to tip if you want, but there's no actual clubhouse dues anymore like we had. So, yeah. you would get your home and away jersey, maybe even a couple home and away jerseys at the end of the season. If you wanted more than that, then that would be added to your clubhouse dues.
Interesting. Interesting. Does Brian Anderson own any piece of sports memorabilia?
No. I've got a bunch of Brian Anderson jerseys. And that's only because I got him cheap and for nothing. And that's it. I did have a Mark McGwire signed baseball the year that he broke the MLB record for home runs, but my Rottweiler chewed it up. I'm not even sure how she got a hold of it. Yes, she did. She chewed it up. Maybe that was a little foreshadowing of this was all going to come crumbling down because of steroids anyway, and she just saved me the hassle. But yeah, she got to that ball and turned it into a chew toy. Nice. And a Rottweiler chew toy, they don't last very long.
All right, what did you think when the Indians made the big trade and Clevinger goes to San Diego and the Indians get a boatload of guys that we don't know a whole lot about in return?
Right, right. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. You know, that was the buzz. You know, there was buzz about the Indians looking to maybe listen to offers on Clevinger, you know, in the offseason. So, I don't think it was a knee-jerk because of, obviously, what happened with him and Plesac. And like I said, I thought that Clevinger handled, you know, initially did not handle things very well. But as he had time to reflect in Lake County, when he came back, I thought that he was absolutely could not have handled it any better. And so I think that there was a lot of forgiveness there for him. So I don't think it had a lot to do with that. I mean, maybe some, I don't know. But it was interesting that it seemed to be a deal, not a big deal where a big name goes one way and you get a number one prospect, you know, or whoever it may be from that organization where it's a big splash. It seemed to be more of a quantity, as you were alluding to, type of deal where you get a bunch of guys that are pretty highly regarded, and we'll see, you know, who pans out. And, you know, before I was coming on, Andy, I was listening to you talking about Michael Brantley as the player to be named, and that's exactly, yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head there, is that you've got these five or six guys coming in, and we'll wait. We'll give it a year or two or three, and we'll see who pans out, and you may look down the road and say, wow, they gave away Clevinger for nothing, or you may say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that these players turned out like they did, and they got all of them for just Clevinger. So it's going to be a wait and see type of situation for the Indians. But they definitely have thrown a lot up against the wall. We'll see if any of it sticks.
BA, when we're looking at the Indians right now, what do you think of what's going on? Reyes is red hot right now. The pitching is staying consistent. What are your thoughts on the Tribe?
Well, they're a dangerous team because of what they can do, you know, throwing the baseball. If they can find ways to manufacture runs, and get some guys hot. You get those guys with some power hot, it's even a better thing because, you know, the threat of the extra base hit that looms so large in today's game. But they're always going to pitch, and that gives you a fighting chance. And obviously with the expanded playoffs, you know, pretty much set in the American League. You know, that eighth spot might be up for grabs, and certainly it looks like Toronto is making a run at that, and then maybe trying to even move up the pecking order. They're tied with the Yankees right now in our division, which is an interesting development. They're a dangerous team, and they can pitch with anybody. And so, if you're able to do that, and you get some hitters hot at the right time, you know, who knows what could happen? All you got to do is get in. And let's see. So I think that they're as dangerous as anybody else. But when you look at their division, and it's tight too. I mean, the White Sox doing their thing, and of course the Twins have fallen way back. But you know that their pedigree, that they can get hot and dangerous. So I think it's in the American League. There's a lot of good teams, and really, I don't think any clear favorite yet. I mean, maybe you would say that about the Rays, best record in the American League. By a couple of games, but I still think that it's a big pile of really good teams and anybody could emerge.
Brian, what does it say about the organization that they were able to do this, and is it walking too much of a fine line, giving up Trevor Bauer, Corey Kluber, and Mike Clevinger basically within a year? I mean, top four starters anyway. I think, okay, it shows you can develop pitching, but are you running a little bit of a risk that some of the guys that you're counting on to fill in those spots don't do the job?
Of course you are. And you know what? This is what I have been experiencing with the Rays for the last decade plus. That's how they do it. They trade Evan Longoria. They trade David Price. They trade James Shields. I mean, one after the other, Matt Garza. I mean, on and on and on. All these guys that seemingly had really good years left ahead of them, that they trade, and it's walking a fine line in how you run your business and how you run your team, your organization. But it comes down to you've got to be invested into scouting, into analytics. You got to know these players that you're getting back and have a specific plan for how you're going to develop them and to get the very best out of them. because in those types of trades, you can't miss. It sets you back too far. Because those are the guys that are going to fill in, maybe at that position or maybe in other positions, to allow you to stay competitive on a year-in and year-out basis. And if those guys don't turn out, uh-oh, now you're in big trouble. And so you've got to have a strong farm system, and you've got to supplement it with these trades, and you have to have guys not wash out. Because if they do, the trades look really bad. So it's not an easy thing to do, but you have to know the players you're trading for. And so that comes down to scouting, all of the data that you have on these guys and how to interpret it. And you just have to have the right eyeballs on the player and on the numbers and say, this guy's going to fit and this guy's going to make a difference for us. And so, yeah, it's not easy. But you know, the time will tell. That's a tough thing. You know, the Rays do that over time. Seeing the Indians trade those three starters in the last, you know, year plus or whatever it's been, it's been a short compartmentalized time. That is gutsy. I'll tell you that.
Brian Anderson joining us on the hotline. BA, the Indians are 23-14. Okay, and like I mean, the Rays are what, 26-12, and it's very hard to have this conversation for me because it doesn't feel fulfilling, I guess, is maybe the way I'm going to say it. But Shane Bieber is looking at perhaps winning the Triple Crown of pitching, right? Strikeouts, ERA, and wins. He's right there right now. He's got all three. Is that like even fair for me to even say because of the limited number of games?
You know what? No, I think overall anything that's done this season, you know, DJ LeMahieu, we just got done with the Yankees. And, I mean, we got done with the Yankees. We went 8-2 against them this year. So I know everybody back in Cleveland will appreciate that because no one likes that squad. Anyway, all that to say, DJ LeMahieu was, you know, up until the last game was hitting over 400. So if he hits 400, you know, that's going to have an – you know, they're all going to have an asterisk. However, having said that, it's still a 60-game schedule for all of these teams. And if you do something that stands out that much – that's an unbelievable accomplishment. I don't care 60 games or 162. It won't be looked at the same way if you did that over 162 games. But guess what? You still did it. There's going to be a number of guys that, you know, have 10 to 12 starts, you know, in this, you know, the shortened season. And if you win, you know, if you were the Triple Crown winner of pitching with, you know, just that many. So what? That means you were that dominant. And I think Shane Bieber has been that dominant. I mean, he was the pitcher of the month for, you know, July, August, or the end of July when we started in August. And, I think it's an unbelievable accomplishment. I think everybody in the game will feel the same way. But I think over the course of history, those types of things won't get the same, you know, they're not going to be revered the same way if you would have done it over 162 games. But guess what? You did it over the time that you were allotted, and I think that's pretty awesome if you can pull that off.
Brian, how's it been for the guys playing without fans? You know, I mean, think back to baseball as most kids grew up. Until you hit college, and maybe not even then, you're really not playing in front of a ton of folks. I've been impressed with the caliber of play without any inspiration from folks in the stands.
I agree. I think that that these guys have been able to stay focused on the task at hand and you know, still realize, hey, listen, the guy out there on the mound is trying to make me look bad. And so I need to go, you know, they've maintained that focus. They've had that inner drive. They've found ways to motivate themselves. I think that the chatter from the benches has helped. I will say this. So you obviously, guys, you saw us a couple of nights ago where Joey Wendell got hit in the game, and then Chapman threw right over the top of Mike Brasso's head at 101 miles an hour. If you could have – the game after that, we probably should have been on a seven-second delay because you could hear these two dugouts, the chirping going on during the game, and it was I mean, sometimes it was toe curling, and they were just, you know, I don't know. I think that they have used that kind of stuff to keep themselves fired up and keep each other held accountable. So I have been very impressed that if you don't look into the stands too hard, you don't notice that anybody's not there between the pumped in crowd music and the quality of play, especially at this point. I think early on it was a little, you know, shaky and it wasn't as smooth. But now that they've gotten into the flow of the season, I couldn't agree more. But I think that all comes from teams motivating themselves.
All right, Brian, I was going to ask you a college football question, but no, I'm not, because I got to follow up on that one. By the way, this baseball update brought to you by WOW Business Business Internet. Who is the best chirper? Chirper would be the equivalent of a trash talker in the NBA, right?
Yeah, yes.
Who was the best chirper that you ever played with or played against?
Oh, gosh.
CeCe was a pretty good chirper, Brian.
Who's that?
CeCe Sabathia was a pretty good at chirping.
Well, because CeCe Sabathia was really good at chirping. In fact, he did a lot to inflame this hatred between the Yankees and the Rays a couple of years ago. We had a pitcher throw up behind Austin Romine's head, and you know, it was a purpose pitch, and it was ugly. And Sabathia went out the next half inning or whatever it was and drilled one of our guys, and then he looked right into our dugout, to the Rays dugout, and he pointed and said, "That's for you, bleep." And it was like, no way he did, and nobody in our dugout moved. It was like, guys, you can't let someone yell in your dugout like that. Someone's got to stand up and tell, you know, whatever. And so that's where it really started with the Rays and the Yankees nonsense that culminated into what it did the other night. But, yeah, he was pretty good. I used to play with, when I was a rookie, Spike Owen was a guy who I can remember just never shutting up on the bench. And, I mean, he had something for everything. In fact, we were talking about it the other night. You'd give up a base hit, and it would be a base stealer. And, you know, we'd get a base hit off somebody, and he's standing there yelling out there, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, there's a pickoff play. He'd start yelling, "You had your chance." You know, I mean, he had something for every scenario that came on the field. So as far as quantity goes, it was probably Spike Owen.
Any
do
other
guys
idiots
like that, Bry? Or,
yeah,
or do, they get, get fed up with it, or do they think it's
just
classic?
Yeah, it gets a little old. You know, somebody will be like, you know, this isn't, you know, college and you know, or amateur. So you got to pick your spots if you want to be a really good one, because if it's too much, then guys roll their eyes and it becomes like white noise. Kind of like how I get viewed a lot.
All right, we're running out of time. Did you ever chirp at anybody?
No, that was really never not my style. I was always of the, you know, I'll let my play, you know, dictate the chirping. So there was no real talk. I was always taught, you know, you just go in, you know, get the job done, beat them that way, and just walk off. And if they want to talk, you know, usually the guys that talk a lot are, you know, you're worried more about the quiet, confident guy who doesn't say anything and just knocks you out, rather than the guy that tells you all this stuff he's going to do. I don't have a lot of time for those guys.
BA, we always appreciate your time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can always chirp with us. You know that.
Oh, of course. Hey, listen, once a week for 20 minutes.
Goodbye, Brian.
See you,
we'll
brother.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Anderson, right. Former Indians pitcher, super friend of the show. There's no question about it. Also the Rays analyst. And also has a Brown show here, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.